WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Ark Rum was one of the founders of the underground comics movement in the 1960s and became the most famous of the artists. Crum, who has always kept out of the public eye, is the subject of the documentary Crum that was on lots of critics' 1995-10 best lists. Crum won the Grand Jury Prize at the Sundance Film Festival, and many critics thought it should have been nominated for an Academy Award. Crum just came out on home video. Cartoonist R. Crum's work is twisted, neurotic, and sex-obsessed, and it turns out, so is R. Crum.
And when I was 13 and 14 and trying to be a normal teenager, I was like really a jerk. I mean, I tried to, act like I thought they were acting. It just came out all wrong and weird. So then I just stopped completely and just became a shadow. And I wasn't even there. No, people weren't even aware that I was, in the same world they were in. And that kind of freed me completely because I wasn't under those pressures to be normal. So I got interested in old-time music and went to the black section of town knocking on doors and looking for old records and things like that that would be unthinkable if you were going to be a normal teenager. This is my image celebrating Valentine's Day, February 13th, 1962. I decided to reject conforming when society rejected me. I've heard all that be yourself stuff. When I'm myself, people think I'm nuts. Guess I'll have to be satisfied with cats and old records. Girls are just utterly out of my reach. They won't even let me draw them. Yeah, all that changed after I got famous.
An excerpt of the movie Crum. We'll hear from the director, Terry Zwigoff, in a couple of minutes on this archive edition of Fresh Air. First, let's hear what critic Ken Tucker had to say about the documentary when it was first released last spring.
At the start of this extraordinary documentary, we see Robert Crum lecturing to a group of scruffy art students in Philadelphia. He shows them slides of some of his best-known images, the cover of Big Brother and the Holding Company's 1968 album Cheap Thrills, a drawing of his lewd feline character Fritz the Cat, and the cartoon that became a kind of hippie talisman, Keep on Truckin'. Crum explains that he's showing them this stuff to jog their memories, to establish a connection with the students who might not otherwise know who he is. And then Crum proceeds to badmouth all three of these famous works of his, heaping contempt on the pop culture industry that made those images pervasive, and expressing equal contempt for himself, for what he perceives as selling out to greedy hacks. He's even not too proud to reveal how little he made for the drawing of that famous cover of Janis Joplin's multi-million-selling album, a measly $600. What comes across in this opening scene is the cranky, contradictory public persona that Crum has created for himself. The most famous underground cartoonist of the 60s who has always hated the counterculture. The sex-crazy weirdo who lives a calm bourgeois life with his wife and daughter. The artist who helped destroy distinctions between high art and low, but whose own aesthetics are deeply reactionary. As portrait of the artist stuff, the movie Crum is beautifully lucid. There are sharp comments from the critic Robert Hughes that place Crum in an art historical context. There are scenes of Crum fondling women's backsides for a photo shoot for a porno magazine that place Crum in a psychopathological context. And some lovely quiet scenes of Crum sketching in his notebook. But then the movie goes much deeper as it reveals its true intention, which is to place Robert Crum in the context of his family. A family so profoundly troubled that the fashionable term of the moment, dysfunctional, seems pathetically superficial. Director Terry Zwigoff interviews Robert's older brother Charles and his younger brother Max. Neither of them lives in the real world. Charles, an articulate, witty man, seems to be in a perpetual state of nervous breakdown. He hasn't left his mother's house in years, reads the same 19th century philosophy text over and over, and freely admits that he really ought to bathe more often. Yet when this sweaty recluse was a boy, he was also a very talented cartoonist, and the person that got Robert interested in being an artist. Max, on the other hand, is a mystic, too troubled to be blissed out. His only apparent source of income comes from begging on the street while sitting on a bed of nails. Robert seems fully aware of how odd his siblings are. He sees many aspects of himself in them. He grins and laughs very nervously as he blames it all on his late father. All three brothers believe that Dad's tyrannical bullying managed to produce these intensely repressed, introverted men. To a great extent, Robert Crum's contempt for his audience, whom he feels have both undervalued and misunderstood him, enables this movie to be the revelation it is. Zweigoff was free to explore the profound misogyny and self-loathing in Crumb's work because the artist doesn't care what we end up thinking about him. By the end of the film, Crumb has traded 3 notebooks of drawings for a house in France, and this American genius who despises America is shown packing up his beloved old jazz records and his equally beloved wife and child and bidding the U.S. good riddance. Just as the intricately detailed ugliness of Robert Crumb's drawing can be tremendously moving, so does this film biography make Crumb's crabbed, obsessive life seem like a pure triumph.
Ken Tucker is Fresh Air's rock critic. He writes about popular culture for Entertainment Weekly. Crumb has just come out on home video.